don't worry. It will soon pass, whatever it is. Don't worry, be happy.
The BKC Motivational Show. Auntie, you're welcome.
Thank you.
And good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you too.
I read something brief about you, and in your own words, who is Mariska Araba?
I'm a determined woman, a very strong, I hope, and I am not afraid to try anything. You know, you can be up sometimes and down sometimes, but it's not the end of the world, so I carry on. I treat everybody equally. There's no such thing as a big man or a small man. Everybody has something to contribute to my life and to others, and that's how I am. I just live my life as it comes.
I like what you said. I'm not afraid to try anything. Key point one. If you're listening, you can keep that. I'm not afraid to try anything. How, I'll put it so, how a woman or a lady like you say, I'm not afraid to try anything? That sounds daring enough for a lady to say that, a woman to say, I'm not afraid to dare try anything.
I've been through a lot. I got married very young. Had my first son 30-something years ago. And then became single, and I had to struggle and make it on my own. And that's why I say I'm not afraid to try anything, because when you don't have a partner, at least for 17 years, I was a single mom. And I managed and survived. So now, if I decide I want to try something, I'll see how financially I can do it and put myself in it. If it doesn't work, I try something else, you know. So that's why I said I'm not afraid to try.
If it doesn't work, I try something else. Powerful point. Point two for me. We are not afraid to try anything. Two, if it doesn't work, then you move on to the next thing. These are good PowerPoint tips that you can keep. In the studio, we have Auntie Mariska Araba Taylor Darko. Wonderful, nice, long name. All right. I want to know, you've been writing over the years and ventured so many things. What is your writing style like?
With poetry, I just write mostly when I'm emotional.
Can we pause there? I mostly write when I'm emotional. Can you give us a poem now? Then we can continue.
Yes, this one is called Love is Something Sweet.
I like love things. Let's move on.
Love is something sweet, something strange. It comes in many different languages, but means the same. It feels the same, no matter where you go. The faraway look in your eyes when you think of that special person. The warmth inside, not caused by outside heat. The anxious wait for time to pass. Time which somehow drags on and on, like a turtle on his feet. What is it that makes you feel love so much? There's no age limit to this feeling. The young feel it, the old feel it, the rich and the poor feel it. Every living being feels it. Time stands still. Sounds disappear. All you remember is the feeling, that sweet feeling of love that you wish would never end. Love is something sweet.
Love is something sweet. Age doesn't come in here.
No.
I feel the love here. That's a great one. That's from your first book, right?
Yes.
Title?
A Rhythm of Poetry in Motion.
Rhythm of Poetry in Motion, Volume 1.
Volume 1.
Oh, we'll be expecting Volume 2 shortly, right?
Yes.
Okay, I want to ask you, what motivates you to write?
I just love putting down things that I do and experience and everything like that. And it's a feeling. It's a feeling. And I've always liked literature and reading history and recording things. I've always got a notebook with me. and I jot down things. And then I just had this love of putting it down so other people could enjoy what I had written. And when I get positive responses from what I've put down, then I get encouraged to carry on.
Would you say it's more of a talent or a gift in develop over the years?
It's a gift. You know, some people either have it or don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a gift from God. And you just have to expand on that gift you've been given. You don't just hide it in the house, you know. So once you've identified your gift, they say identify your talents and your gift. Once you've done that, then you can press on. And if the Lord has given you a particular gift and you try and improve on what he's given you, you can't fail. So,
wow. So talking about gifts, you see it as more of a gift and you're improving it and sharing the people to benefit from your giftings.
Yeah.
Do you remember at what age did you start writing or putting these pieces down?
Secondary school. I wrote a love story when I was in Form 4.
Love story.
And it was typical teenage love, you know, nothing terrible. And that was my first time. But during our move, we moved a lot. It was during the 70s. And we moved house a lot. And somewhere along the line, I lost it in a chop box. So maybe one day somebody will be cleaning out their grandfather's cupboard and find a love story written by Mariska.
Well, love story. I wish I could just find that. If you could give us the treasure map to look for where possible that might be, and your thoughts then on the subject love, you know, teenage love.
The last known point of contact was somewhere near Asylum Downs.
Asylum Downs, okay. I think I'll let Jeremy do that for us. Now, still in childhood story, do you remember any specific lie you ever told in your childhood and got away with it?
Yes. I mean, we're all girls. You know, this was girl lie.
Girl.
I told my parents I was going to a birthday party, and my mother had a habit of picking us up wherever we went to. And she gave us a time she was going to come for us. So after she dropped us at the house, the three of us rushed to Keteke. That was a nightclub in Osu. And then we went there, we were dancing away and everything like that. And then my friend remembered the time and she said, hey, your mother is going to come and pick you up and you won't be there. So we rushed, put our money together, got a taxi, rushed back to the house. And then, because her parents were away.
Hmm.
And then we ran into the house, we took off all the makeup and everything. And then my mother came 5 minutes later. So, of course, we pretended everything was normal and he said, oh, bye, and see you next time. And my mother was saying, oh, was it nice? And I would say, yes, yes. And she never found out until today. So that was when I was naughty.
Wow. Is she alive?
Yes, my mother, she's 73 years old and she's doing her first degree in the University of Middlesex in London.
Wow. I mean, this is encouraging. This is so encouraging. 73, doing her first degree in London. Wow. Wow. This is amazing. If you're listening right now, just be inspired just by this statement. There's never too late to dream or follow your passion. 73 years.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You are blessed.
Yeah, she's my role model.
Great. Great to know that. Now, let's look at into your books. The first one was titled
Rhythms of Poetry in Motion.
Rhythms of Poetry in Motion. And the second one is
The Secret to Detoxifying Your Life and Your Love.
Okay, great. I like the second book title. I don't know. Maybe because of the life and love part, I keep emphasizing. But what I want to find out, how do you come by your titles, your book titles?
Sometimes in dreams.
Dreams?
Yes. There was one which I'm writing and it never seems to finish, called The Neem Tree. And it was actually, the whole book was a dream. And I wrote it down as soon as I got up. Other times I write things and then I find a title to fit. Another way is I look for something to draw attention to the book, you know, like the heading, The Secret. So already that's driving you towards the book. Then the fourth way is I look for tag words. I go into Google, Amazon, and then I look up a book, and then I go down. There's a section where you can look for tags. And then you can just type in any words, and then you can see how many times people have searched for that particular word. So if you insert that word in the title of your book, whenever they put in that particular word, your book will be one of those that come up.
Okay, Auntie Mariska, we will look at that, especially when it comes to online marketing of your books.
Yeah.
You take a keyword search for book title and all that. Did you go through some process of picking this particular title? I mean, aside the keyword search and what you want to bring attention to and the contents, especially for this book.
This one.
Yeah.
The detoxifying. I was going through a period of, this was about 7 years ago. I went to a Tony Robbins program, and we were talking about detoxifying your life in terms of health, your life in terms of health. And the detoxifying means to cleanse and to rid of any toxins that are within you. So I thought I would write a book about this. Then I went to two other workshops, and the topics were around the same thing. So I decided I was going to use detoxify within my book. And then life and love is because of my life and my love that I've been through. So the subtitle is Eliminating Bad Habits Effectively and Making Changes in Your Life. So I decided to put that as the subtitle, but to use The Secret and Detoxify as the main title of the book.
Okay, great. Insight. Now, looking at the first book, Rhythms in Motion, if I'm right.
Yes, is that Rhythms of Poetry in Motion.
Rhythms of Poetry in Motion. What inspired you to put that together?
I seriously got into poetry after the death of my husband. And during the 40 days when I was, I'll call it incarcerated, because that's what it is, I just started writing poetry. And I got a whole lot together. And I think I have about 150 poems now.
150?
But I put together some. And so this particular book is divided up into sections. So we have a few poems under death, a few under life, a few under love, and a few under Ghana. So those were the ones I picked to make out this book.
Okay. Great. Great to know that you have 150 poems now, and you're still writing, what you went through when you lost your husband got also something. So it means that if you listen, that anything that you go through, you can pick up something good out of it, whatever state you find yourself to be. Might be the worst you might think of, but you can get something good if you focus and look out for it. Here in the studio, we have Mariska Araba Taylor Darko, long nice name. And she's
got two
books. The third one is online, I think, The Iced Water Cellar.
Yes.
We'll talk about when you're ending the program. Now, what I want to know, you've been writing over the years, and it's been talented and all that. The question for us to know is that in your writing process, do you come across, or did anything like this happen to you, that what you call the writer's block, where you're done, there's nothing to put down on paper and nothing to write? What do you do?
The last 2 weeks, I've had writer's block. Every writer gets it. You just can't write anything. So all I've been doing is Facebooking and correcting previous written manuscripts. So I'm spending my time doing that, editing, correcting, putting things together. But actually putting things down, it's like the well is dry at the moment. So everybody gets it. So.
And
don't be afraid.
What do you do in person? Give me as one or two things you do, especially when you have the block, like now for the past 2 weeks.
Lays about by writing. sketch down things that I may want to write about later on, you know. And I have a to-do book.
To-do book.
And then I just write down titles, or I write down an event like. At the moment, we're in Homowo, so I write down Homowo. I put a title, and I leave it blank. And then, the funeral of our late president, I put down, I wrote one poem.
But I think we will hear that before we leave the studio.
I left it more or less blank because I need to look at some of the pictures and things that went on, and then I'll pick from there, you know, like the scenes of the drummers, the colors of the outfits people were wearing and things like that. So I start filling in the gaps, and then later on I can sit and do something.
Okay, if you just tune in, this is Vibe 91.9 FM. You tune to the BKC Motivational Show, and there's the author book review segments, and we have Mariska Araba Taylor Darko with her book The Secret to Detoxifying Your Life and Love, and the subtitle Eliminating Bad Habits Effectively Making Changes in Your Life. I want to know, what has been your greatest challenge as a writer?
Finding a publisher, getting your book out into the world. Those are the two challenges. The other challenges are things that I can overcome if I'm determined to do, but the outside influences is really getting your book published at a reasonable price, right, and then getting your money back when you've distributed your books out. Those are challenges that I think every writer in Ghana goes through.
That's so true. Now, as a writer, I would say, what has been your greatest asset as a writer? What makes you stand out? What makes Mariska Araba Taylor Darko stand out from other writers who write on the same subjects or things like that?
My book, this one in particular, is geared to people in this part of the world. A lot of the motivational books you see on the market are written by Westerners. So a lot of the examples they give are to do with their culture and their country. Mine is more to, I look from through the eyes of a Ghanaian. And the problems Ghanaians would go through. Like, for example, if I'm talking about finance, I wouldn't talk about high credit card problems. I'd rather talk about maybe the Susuman problem and things like that. So I bring it down to the level that we would understand. And that's what makes my book different to the ones you find on the market.
Awesome. So it's geared towards the African market and the Ghanaian, bringing things that you go through and what you see so that they fit the audience that we need.
Yeah, there are other things that are general when it comes to like relationships, and we talk about smoking habits, being late, and all those things. Those ones are general throughout the world, you know. But anyone picking up this book would know, would feel I was talking to them.
Okay, great. If you're listening live on the internet, on Facebook, you can post in your question for Auntie Araba. That's facebook.com/Bernard Kelvin, or the post I've made, just post in your comments or your contributions. And you have a chance of winning this wonderful book to help you, your life and love life. Now, looking at the section of the book to do with relationship, give us some few tips on that, on the section to do with relationship and love life area.
Yeah, relationships. One of my points I put down is young people, when they're thinking of getting in a relationship, they should have long courtships, because if you don't know the person very well, you end up making a mistake that you regret, you know. And courtship does not mean sexual relationship. It just means getting to know the person well, and you have to make changes in your life. You can't change another person. Everybody is different. You'll either have to tolerate the way they are, or you make changes in your life and try and see if they will accept to make changes. But you can't say, oh, if I marry this girl or if I marry this boy, he will change because then I'm his wife. That, then you're heading for disaster, you know.
Wow.
And get to know the family that you're going into. There are certain habits you may not have been brought up with that you may not find comfortable being with. And if you don't have this long courtship, you'll never find out about it until it's too late.
Okay, Auntie Mariska, there's a comment on Facebook. Ganyobini Saki Saki says, golden gray hair of poetry. I love you, mommy. So you have some love from
Ganyobini.
And Shakuri says that he's going to ask the mom to go right on and steady, as your mom is doing at age 73. You can post in your comments on Facebook. That's facebook.com/Bernard Kelvin. You can have a stand a chance of winning the book. And if you're listening, you want to live stream in, that's bkc.name/radio. Now, we want to run right up on this particular thing, on your book. Are you working on some new book projects that we're expecting?
Yes, I've just released one that is online called The Ice Water Cellar. It's a short one. It's mostly for a teenage thing. It's about an ice water cellar who has an accident in the road, and the lady whose driver caused the accident with the girl, you know, is a very kind lady, but had also been through hardship in her life. So mm-hmm. she takes up this girl, mentoring her, and then through that encounter, the ice water seller's life changes. So you have to read what both of them go through and everything.
Okay. Before you look at that, I want to find out, you know, many writers are silent on their faith, especially if they are Christians. Some of them are very silent. Can you tell us about your faith? And in that line too, have you got any testimonies coming from your books?
My faith, I am a very strong Catholic, very active, very strong, and I believe totally in my faith. And I was even saying that even if the richest man in the world wanted to marry me and said I should change my faith, I would tell him to take his money and run, you know, because I won't swerve from that. So, and then with testimonies, I've had people read my book, and then when they meet me, they say, oh, I was just reading this chapter, and it really was like it was talking to me and everything like that. And for me, that is the greatest thing, you know, the greatest feeling, when you answer somebody's question. You know, we're not experts, but at least you can learn from each other. So I've had quite a few of those, and not only from Ghanaians. So I know I'm hitting somewhere.
Sure, those are wow moments when you hear testimonies coming from your writings. Get you inspired them more. Do you have any advice or word for writers and even readers? Do you have anything?
First thing, don't give up. Jot down any idea you get. Don't let others discourage you, you know. And a poem you write today that may not sound right may actually, if you read it 3 years down the line, may fit into what you're doing at that particular time. Read a lot of other people's work. And then write down, there's a writing process. If I can go into that.
Yes, we want to know that process.
A writing process that I follow, one of them. If you're writing something that is, both fiction and non-fiction, you get a sheet, about 6 sheets of paper. On the first sheet, you write down the topics and the chapters you want in any order, about 15 of them.
15, okay.
Then you study them and pick out 10 of the best. Then you write down each chapter that you've picked out on another clean sheet. And then you write the ingredients of those chapters. So if you're talking about love, everything you know about love, you write there. If you're talking about procrastination, everything you know about procrastination, you put down. Research on the internet. Get your information. One-liners are not plagiarism. You can use one-liners and things from other places, you know. Then you arrange them in sequence. Then you add comments to that, and then you ask questions, writing those questions down. Then you answer those questions. Then you do that for every chapter. And then when you finish and you go through it, you've more or less got a book. Now, these days, books don't have to have 25, 30 chapters. You can have 5 chapters of solid material. So don't think you have to keep writing 300 pages. It's only when we come into the what we call the professional books that we go on and on and on. Mm-hmm. But if you want someone to be reading your book on his way to work and reading at home, they're not going to enjoy reading 30 chapters. They want something like 5 chapters that's hitting the point, you know. So just jot down everything, fill out your chapters. Then when you've done all that, take those notes and things and start working on putting them in order. And I've changed the order of one book that I'm writing about widowhood and all the rituals and everything like that. I've changed the order and the titles around so many times that now I've started deleting old copies because I'm getting confused as to which one was the final draft and things. So I'm redoing how I save my things, giving them numbers and all that. So this is a short... these are short tips on how to start a book.
Okay, thank you very much. This will be available as a podcast by evening, so you can download it from online and re-listen to the points again and help yourself. You have some questions on Facebook, but before then, we want to know, where can we read more about you and where can you find your books and your writings and things that you do?
To read about me, I have a page called African Women's Poetry. .com. It's a Google blog page. You can get onto that one. I've Googled myself and information has come up on me, so we can't hide from Big Brother anywhere. So you can get information on me. And then the books are available in quite a few places. IPS Bookshop, Jane Ann Supermarket, Medina, Citrus Bookshop in Osu, Catholic Book Center at Abraka, Pills and Tabs opposite Legon University, Methodist Bookshop, Medina, Delcom Bookshop in Adenta at the Barrier, St. John Fisher Catholic Church on Sundays, Queen of Peace Catholic Church on Sundays. It's also available in Bolga, Sunyani, Wa, and Obuasi. But you can go onto my Facebook page with the title, The Secret to Detoxifying Your Life and Love. And the phone numbers and contact details are all there.
Okay, any specific number to call if the person is interested in an autographed copy from you?
0272742760. 0272742760.
Okay, I'll read all your Facebook comments for you and questions, then we can run up with your last words or something that you might want to say to your listeners. These are the comments so far. We have Kobin Mana. He says that, "Mom, you are a wonderful woman. I do love poetry. Really, your words inspired me. I'm not afraid to try anything. Keep up the good race, Mommy." That's from Kobina. Now, this Terry Adams. He says, "Auntie, I read a portion of your book, and I must tell, I was really inspired. Keep it up in the good work you're writing. And for your mom, I wish her all the very best in her studies." This is from Terry Adams.
Thank you, Terry.
Richmoni Afua says, "Wow, such a humble, great motivation. We really have a great resource, Mariska. Your breakdown on how to write a book make me feel I can write the book I have been thinking about. Thank you, BKC and Mariska. Great show." Thank you, Richmoni Afua. And this is from Bobby Odessing. Says, "You are very inspiring. Please, who are your role models?" And I read the very last. That's from Bobby. Bobby says, "You are very inspiring. And who are your role models?" And last one from Zakiu Idris. He says that, "I love it when women take the center stage. God bless all our mothers." I really like that as well. See, "I love it when women take the center stage." So these are your comments and your contributions from Facebook and your last words for listeners and readers of your book. Anything special for us?
I just want to thank all of you for the feedback. My role models, like I said, my mother, and then my sister, who is a queen mother. And she's also very inspirational, because being a queen mother surrounded by all the chiefs, you have to be really strong. And she's handling them very, very well. So I'm also, you know, learning from her, even though she's younger than me. Maya Angelou, she's Maya also Angelou. One of my favorite writers. And there are quite a few others that I can't think of offhand, but I read a lot. Read read, read, read. Research, research. You know, pick any book and read. Don't say, oh, I only read religious books. Read other things, you know. I asked one boy on STC 2 days ago. He was reading one religious book, and I said to him that, oh, is this, do you read other books? And he said, oh, I only read Christian books. And I was saying in my head, this man, he's going to have a very narrow outlook on life, right? Because reading one particular type. So I just gave him a signed copy of my book, and I said, when you go, read this. And if, and I put my phone number in it, and I said, call me if you finish reading and you're interested in asking me any questions. Because I just wanted to broaden his horizon. So please read. And those of you who are in school, take literature and English language very seriously. Write down words you don't understand. Check up words. Sometimes I'm writing, I go onto Google and I check up how many words I can use to describe one particular word. And I change the one I was thinking of using and I use one that maybe I've never even come across. Because then it makes someone reading your book say, oh, this person really knows her English, mm-hmm. you know. So it is research and reading and spend time on it, you know.
Research and reading. I think we've learned a lot. You've got a wealth of wisdom in you. I think you can make a date with us some other time and watch out for the Writer's Dream with Auntie Mariska the next time. This has been the Author Spotlight with Mariska Araba Taylor Darko. Those who want the books, I'll post it on Facebook for you to know. You're going to move on to the next session shortly. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. I've given four books. So those who want to win a book will call in.
Okay, so you have four books for you. Those posting comments and texting, we'll let you know who won those books for you. Thank you very much, Mariska Araba Taylor Darko. All right, let's hear a poem from her, then we sign out on the author segment. And Jeremiah Boabing is ready with Eugene Ayim, going to inspire us on something to do with motivation. Jeremiah is ready and Eugene. So stay tuned. Don't sign out. It's online as well. bkc.name/radio.
Yeah, this last poem was written when our president passed away. Why? Why does death come like a thief in the night? Why do the best ones die first? Why? A mighty oak has fallen, chopped down by the hands of death. The Asumdrehine has gone to the ancestors. Why? The gentle smile, comforting words, humble disposition. Welcomed around the world, but at home, Even the good book says a prophet is not honored in his own town. Why? He has shaken the dust off this town, off his feet. Without defeat. Why? Why did we have to wait until death to put his icy hands on him before giving citations and heaping praises on him? His heart can no longer burst with joy and pride. Why? Mother Earth has claimed her son. Mother Earth has taken him away. God knows why. Why? Asumdrehine. Look with kindness upon us from the heavens. Your mark has already been made. Your stamp embossed in the books of time, never to be erased. Your name will be forevermore on the lips of the people, long after the box has been emptied and packed away. That ballot box that you all fought for. Why? Asumdrehine is gone, but his Asumdre will live on. Hey, Asumdrehine. Why?
Thank you very much. I think we can clap for you in the studio, Jeremy and Eugene. Great, and God bless you, Mariska Araba Taylor, with her book. And those on with comments on Facebook, will let you know who won the book, actually, before the show ends. Perhaps one of Ghana's most formidable young thinkers and speakers is in the house. We have Jeremiah Boabing. Jeremiah, you're welcome.
Thank you, BKC.
And I'm good as gold here. Eugene Akwaba.
Thank you.
I hope your weekend has started well.
Yeah,
Jeremiah, let's hear you from scriptures.
What do you want to hear, Vicky?
Okay, we've gathered one of Ghana's greatest young thinkers and speakers in the studio. We look at the subject of motivation and what it really does and how to stay and get motivated. This is the BKC Motivational Show, and we have more of this in the studio. So, Jim, what is the subject? What is motivation really about? And the first about motivation.
Yep. I will give two definitions. The first is a very generic definition, motivation, which simply means a compelling force that ignites new actions or new behavior. But the definition that I coined myself that I believe speaks to me a lot is that motivation is a body of knowledge, ideas, strategies that inspires personal transformation. So I talk about knowledge. That's knowledge of self, your strengths and your weaknesses, your talents and your abilities, your passion and your interests, knowledge of your environment, knowledge of practices that will also help you to tap into your strengths and your weaknesses, self-discipline, reading, the power of habits. Then we talk about ideas of opportunities in your environment. Then we talk about strategies, because often a lot of people don't dwell on strategies, but believe me, you can have a lot of inspiration, a lot of motivation, a lot of great ideas, but you don't have a clear strategy and all you are living on is hope. And hope is not a strategy. So you need to have a strategy. So that's my definition of motivation.
So we need to have
a strategy
to help us
important. Get
motivated.
Yeah.
Wow. I think we look at that. And now you've defined what motivation is. I know whether you have anything to add.
Yeah, well, I would want to say that motivation is an experience. I said that last week, that motivation is an experience that brings an effect on you, an effect on how you see things, how you see life, and makes you want to maybe do something that you would not do before. And, you know, that is what I would call motivation, an experience that brings an effect on you.
Jeremiah, does everyone need motivation? Is it?
Certainly. The answer is a big yes, YES, capital on the line, in red pen. Certainly. Because if you're aspiring to really unlock every fiber of your being, every faculty in you, every potential in you, then you need to be motivated. And I identify three levels of living in life, especially in Africa, that most people live in one of the three levels.
Okay.
Acuteness,
accommodation,
and abundance.
Those okay,
who
great.
At the level of acuteness are those who live in serious financial struggle, every day struggling to make ends meet. They are six in the family, and they all live in the same room, struggling to pay their utilities, struggling to pay rent, struggling to take their children to school. Then those who live in the level of accommodation are those who have the resources to accommodate their basic needs. They can only accommodate basic needs so far as there's no emergency or there's no big dream to pursue. But as soon as a big dream comes up, they're in trouble. So far, as soon as an emergency comes up, their child has to go to university, there's trouble. Mm. Accommodation. Then the highest level is the level of abundance. That's the level where everything flows. There's multiple streams of income. And if you want to go through the ranks of acuteness, accommodation to abundance, then you certainly need to be motivated.
Wow. I think I like your breakdown into that. Now let's look at it right away. From what are the sources of motivation? How and where? And what do you find those sources of motivation out?
Well, I think that motivation, like I said, an experience that will make you have a positive outlook to life, comes from very, very different sources. One of the things, one of the best places to find motivation is the Word of God. Another motivation source is the preached word. If you want to listen to some preachers preach the word, it's encouraging. It means you see life from a better perspective, from God's perspective, as opposed to your own perspective. Then you can go to motivational books or motivational speeches. You listen to people who speak, whose job is perhaps to only motivate people and help them reach their dream life. And that source of inspiration or motivation is also listening to good music. Sometimes music, you know, helps you calm down and helps you relax, you know, whilst going through some tense situations. And there's more. Sometimes you can just, I mean, when you look at beautiful things, beautiful scenes, I don't know, we go for excursions and we tend to look at things that nature is beautiful, green grass and maybe the sea and what have you. Sometimes these things can really motivate us and help us see things positively. And one thing One source of motivation too is to set goals and work on achieving them. When you set goals and you work on them, and the more you achieve your goals, the more motivated you become in life, the more you see life as you know, worth living. And so there's more and more to, you know, finding motivation all over the place.
Okay, how does one find his primary source of motivation? You mentioned so many things, but how do I know that music motivates me, or sceneries or images? How would I really know? Because a question one says that nothing seems to motivate me. Help me, Jeremiah, help me.
Yes, usually the issue of a lack of motivation is steeped in one fact. If you don't believe or understand that the factors of success are under your control, you can't be motivated.
Great. One, if you don't
believe and understand that the factors of success are under your control, you can't be motivated.
So one, you need to believe that the factors of success are under your control. Okay,
yes,
great. Let's move on.
For a lot of people who are Christian or spiritual, don't want to identify with this idea. But look, it is replete in scripture that God has empowered all of us with the choices or options to become successful. He says that I put before you blessing and curse, success or failure, prosperity or poverty, excellence or mediocrity, prominence or obscurity. So all of us have the options in life to succeed. So you have to understand that the factors are under your control. Then the next thing is you have to find your passion. You can be motivated if you are pursuing something outside the confines of your passion. So this is what I do. I love doing this. Look, I travel to whole Takrade, places far and near, for free, to speak for free. Wow. I can never be unmotivated. I'm pursuing my passion. So you got to find your passion, what God has wired you to, for what you think about, what holds your attention, and then you can go. And sometimes the people you surround yourself with, I say that there are three persons in everybody's life. The firefighter, those who tell you, no, you can't do it, it's impossible. And believe me, I think that I'm motivated more by the firefighters than anything else. There are certain things I do and I will do because of those who told me no. Then the firelighter, those who light a fire, who encourage you, who tell you it can be done. Jeremiah, you're doing a good job, go on, you're going. And then the third group is a forklifter. Someone who's not with you every day, but just comes and does one thing for you, or opens one door for you that just shoots you up. No. That's your forklifter. So if you want to be motivated, be careful who you surround yourself with.
Wow, that's great. That's great. So we should be very careful about the people who surround us and what we also do, interact with them. Great. Now, if you're listening, we have in the studio Jeremiah Boabin, one of Ghana's finest, greatest young speakers and upcoming author and great speaker, Eugene Ayim, on the subject of motivation. And if you want to post in your comments, your questions for them on Facebook, it's facebook.com/Bernard Kelvin. Add your comments and your contributions, and we will read them live here on Vibe FM 91.9 FM. Now, how do I then stay motivated? I know now, maybe looking at this, my friends, but you know, I don't know whether you're always on your uptime, or do you always have the uptime? I don't know about you. Are you always on the high, that level? And how, if not in their breakdown, how do you go back and pick those things to get motivated?
Well, I don't think that all of us are always in high spirits. I mean,
not even the motivational speakers.
Not even the motivational speakers are in high spirits always. Not even the pastors are in. So sometimes it is up to you, the individual. Like I said earlier, If you one thing motivation does is to restore our lost hopes. That is why we need motivation, because of the fact that we are not always in high spirits. We do not always feel like continuing. We do not always feel like things will work out. That is the reason why we need motivation. And so if we are always in high spirit, then of course there will be no need for motivation. So yes, we will not always be high. But when you are in such a situation, when you feel down, low, you don't feel encouraged, you don't feel like doing anything, I think that is rather the time that you need to identify those things that motivate you, and then pursue them.
Okay. Now, Jeremiah and Eugene, we've all been speaking around here in the country and all that. Now, someone have a question like this. Is why is it that I get inspired after a seminar or listening to a tape, but it evaporates after a few days? After a few days.
Well, that is normal. I mean, when we go for lectures, we forget. That is why we have to go back and rehearse before
exactly.
We can pass exams. When we go to church, we forget the sermon. So Paul said, keep them in remembrance of these things. We will definitely forget. It's part of human nature. But I believe that, you know, it's not a strange thing if you forget. I mean, if you feel unmotivated again after some time, go back and fill yourself up again with words of motivation. You know, that is why, you know, age and day, we are so lucky, because like if you have a message that inspired you so much, like what we are doing presently, you can have it on audio and you can listen over and over again. And so just go back and get motivated again if you feel like, you know, I mean, you are down. Yeah.
Okay, on that light, as you're part of the Speakers Bureau, the Motivation Speakers Network, the question one we'll be asking in this part of our world, Ghana, I will emphasize, okay, do we need to pay for speakers to motivate us? Is there a need, and why do I have to even pay that huge amount to go for such seminars?
Bernard, I would say, what do you want about your brother? I meet people who think that motivational speaking is not important, and I laugh at them and I tell them this. Look, why do you think young people in the Arab countries go and bomb planes and do suicide bombing? Is that an inborn tendency? Certainly not. Something they have been hearing every day has conditioned their thoughts.
Something they've been hearing every day has conditioned their thoughts. Great.
And therefore affects their behavior. So the things we hear every day affects the way we think. And we need to be motivated. We certainly need to be motivated. For example, one, there are a lot of people in Ghana who just have small ambitions. We get satisfied too easily. I tell young people, don't say, I want to be a journalist. Say, I want to build a media empire. Don't say, I want to be a medical doctor. Say, I want to set up an ultra-modern health complex. Don't say, I want to be a teacher. Say, I want to put up a state-of-the-art educational institution. Those are small dreams. And then again, we want to motivate people to change the way they choose careers. When choosing careers, it's not about pay and prestige. It's about passion and powers. Not about pay and prestige. Passion and powers. The things that excite you, the things that you love to do, and the things that you have powers for, talents for, abilities for, something that you're wired to do. So all these things have to be taught. We need to teach people to become entrepreneurs. I think that motivational speakers have more power to change this country than politicians. I say this on record, that we speakers can change this country than even the politicians.
I think if you're listening, you can clap, and let's clap in the studio. I believe it's a great point that motivational speakers have the power to empower people to change the country, and that's a great point by Jeremiah Boabing. If you're listening live on Facebook, let's have your comments and your contributions on the subject of motivation, and we'll come back. A question for Jeremiah. Someone says that hope is not a strategy. This talks to me. I'm impressed. Thank you, guys. This is from Rich Moni Afua. It says, thank you for that word. That hope is not a strategy. That you need to find a strategy to get motivated and stay motivated. Okay, great. And let's look at this. Somebody's listening. Okay, you made mention of, speakers have the power to change people. I want to be a motivational speaker. What do I do, Jeremiah?
Well, I simply have to share the story of how I started. When I discovered my gift as a speaker, I was 17 years old. In my final year in Accra Academy, I discovered...
You are not too young to dream. Jeremiah was 17 when he started.
Many people told me it was impossible, it was crazy, I couldn't do it and everything. I said, well, I could do it. So I bought books. Today, my personal library is not less than 600 books.
Wow. I've read books. That's awesome.
And created... Nobody wanted to invite a young person to speak to them.
No.
So I created my own platform today. I've had KSM, Kafuide, Albert Okran, Bernard Avler, Michael Ohinefa, Patrick Otegbeno, some of the top people in Ghana on my platform. I've done not less than 300 speaking engagements in this country in not less than 4 regions. I've been on radio, I've been on TV. So just believe in yourself. Read books, practice, rehearse. I used to come out of my house at dawn and stand in front of my house. Nobody is there. Doing my rehearsals. I am crazy about rehearsals. I'm speaking for my head, but believe me, this interview, I prepared for it. It's not just happening. So you just have to rehearse, practice, and learn, and get a mentor. Get a mentor. The best way to learn is on the job. So get a mentor. Follow somebody. A lot of young people come, oh, Jeremiah, I like what you're doing. I want to be part of it. But when it comes to time to take action, they just withdraw. And I said, if you are inconsistent, you cannot be successful.
If you are inconsistent, you can't be successful.
It's a lifestyle, you know.
And he said, you need to be read and get a mentor, right? Eugene, who are your mentors? You have mentors in your speaking field, or you can mention one or two.
I do have lots of mentors, and one of them is Dr. Mensa Otabel. We don't have a personal relationship, but of course, he mentors me from afar. Another is Albert Okran and his wife. They're all doing great jobs, and they mentor me so much. And I do have quite a number of people all over the place whom I look up to, whose books I read, and from whom I tap inspiration, you know.
Okay, great. Jeremiah, this is for you from Samson Imano. Jeremiah, you are too much. Thanks for this.
Samson's my Facebook friend. Thanks, Samson.
Samson, yeah, thanks. This is for Bokete, another colleague, Maxwell Mensah. He says, BK, motivation is just like eating. You do not eat once to cover the rest of your life. That's why we need it all
thanks,
the time.
Max. Thanks, Max.
Motivation is like bathing. You bath every day, and that's why we need to get motivated every day. Thank you, Maxwell Mensah Bokete. We have you next week on the studio next subject to do talent and giftings. Okay.
To answer your question about whether motivational speakers should be paid, yeah. I think they should, because your time is money. You've spent hours, days researching, internet fees, everything like that, and you're giving a service, you're giving something back. In Europe, people don't think twice about paying $50, $100, $200 for a program. But here, when you're a motivational speaker, they expect you to go free until you've become big and then people know you and then they ask you to come. Then they feel, oh, we can pay them for their services. But when a motivational speaker says, oh, just pay 2 CDs, it's not because he wants your 2 CDs in his pocket. He has to pay overheads. He may give you a printout, you know, his transport to the place and all that. Even though it is with passion that we are doing this work, whether it's writing or motivational, your passion has to be paid in some way. You've got to get something to motivate you to continue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the responses and everything that people give you back is very good. But sometimes you have overheads, you know. It's not that we want to build a mansion from what we are giving, but we want recognition for what we are doing. And in this world, is when money is put on the table that you see that they recognize what you're doing. Mm. So that is why I think motivational speakers, poets and writers should be paid for what they do.
And paid well.
And paid well.
Yeah, motivational speakers, poets and writers, or those with their creative abilities, need to be paid for their services they render to humanity. I want to pick our last words from our speakers in the house, and we have a second part of this some other week, next 3 weeks, probably. So, Jeremiah, your words to your fans first, and to other listeners and speakers, and all that you have for us.
I want to thank all those who follow me on Facebook. I have over 1,000 friends who follow me on Facebook, sending me messages here and there. And I have what I call the WhatsApp Club. I send them audio messages every other day. And then I got responses from as far as the United Kingdom, because
wow,
you won't believe it.
Wonderful.
So I want to say hi to all of them. But more importantly, I want to rally young people in this country to believe in themselves. I have said it on occasions that, look, that the 21st century is a century for young people. Believe in yourself. Seize the moment. Whatever gift you have, whatever talent you have, whatever dream, idea that you have, stop delaying. You can never be too ready. The time to start is now. Wake up and let the whole world hear about you. It's your time to shine.
The time to start is now. Wake up. Wake up. Thank you, Jeremiah. Eugene?
Yes, thank you, BKC. I want to just say as my last words that, you know, every one of us needs motivation, and don't hesitate to go for motivation, because motivation is something you need to help you see a way out. You could be in a situation you will not see the way out, but when you get motivated, you'll be surprised what you will get up to do after someone has spoken into your life, after someone has given you encouragement. Motivation will help you to even create a way out where you once thought there was no way out. Motivation, sometimes you will need to endure in life. Motivation can also help you to endure and do it gracefully. And motivation will also restore your hope, and it will rejuvenate your spirit, and you can't afford to do without motivation. So whatever way you can, go and get motivation.
Okay, Auntie Mariska.
What I want to say is that if you're good at something, that is what you can use to create your other streams of income. Let's say you're a mechanic and you know how to change a gearbox, and you also like writing. Why don't you write about how you change a gearbox? Mm. Because there are 1,000 people out there who may read this thing and want to know. If you're a seamstress and you know how to put a sleeve in a shirt so well, and you like writing, write about how to make a perfect sleeve. And things like this will sell, because there are people all over the world who want to know about it. So exploit whatever you are best at doing. You know, don't try and write about something you're not good at or you have no experience in. So for those of you who want to be motivated, the three of us here want to motivate you never ever to give up. Mm-hmm. And like you said, 21st century is a time for the youth. I consider myself a youth.
Great.
I have not passed even with my stick, I'll be a youth, you know.
Yeah.
So carry on, exploit the talents you have, read the Word of God, the Bible and your Quran and whatever you read has instructions that have been tested time immemorial and they can't go wrong. You know, and then, like I said, whatever talent you are, if you repair fridges, write about how to change fridges, how to put gas in a fridge, somebody somewhere will like to know and will buy that article or that book. So just tap into your talents. Thank you for inviting us all here.
Thank you. Thank you for great insights and subjects. And I say save the date, 15th September. Watch out for Jeremiah, Eugene, Auntie Mariska, and more on the 15th. Let me read our last Facebook comments and we sign out for the BKC Motivational Show. Make a date, same time next week, to hear more on other authors and other speakers in the house from the Motivational Speakers Network and more. Get motivated and stay motivated. This is from Zakiu Idris. He says, paying to get motivated is like building a concrete foundation for a future mansion. Great input. Says, I read again, paying to get motivated is like building a concrete foundation for a future mansion. Thank you, Zakiu. And this also comment from Emmanuel Tichi Ewa. He says, motivation stimulates one's sense or interest for something. What stimulates one will propel him forward. Kudos. BKC, Jeremiah, and Eugene. That's from Emmanuel Tichi Ewa. And this is also from Bobby Odison. He says, great guys on, sir. Well done, guys. Motivation is a driving force which causes us to press on and achieve goals. So kudos, guys. Jeremiah, Eugene, and Auntie Mariska. And you have a lot of fans on Facebook and online and offline for them. And this has been BKC Motivational Show. Before I sign out, I think I want to take last words from them. They might have something on their heart for you listening to us live online on bkc.name/radio or via Facebook or radio. This is Vibe 91.9 FM. And I've been your host, Bernard Kelvin Clive. Last words from our special guest in the studio. Starting from Jeremiah, then we go to Eugene and Auntie Mariska will run up for us. Thank you.
I want to introduce listeners to what I call the 2P principle. Build your life on the 2P principle. What is the 2P principle? First P, powers, your talent, your gift, your abilities. Build your life on your powers, your talent, your abilities. And second P is passion, the things you love to do. And before you choose a career, a ministry, or a business, these two things must intersect: powers and passion. God bless you.
Okay, I want to say that you make your dictionary your best friend, your thesaurus your best friend. And then for those of you who are really interested in making changes in your life, listen to John Legend's song, I Can Change, and enjoy that as well. We love you.
Good. If you want to get in touch with me, Jeremiah, I'm on Facebook, Jeremiah Bobby, Motivational Speaker. Or my contact is 0246882632. What's up, let me send you my audio message. God bless you.
And I want to just remind you, listeners out there, not to forget your sources of motivation, going for the Word of God, listening to those whose speeches and talks motivate you, and setting goals and working hard to achieve them. Even when you encounter setbacks, you believe that it is still possible to press on and to achieve your ultimate goal. I want to just remind you not to give up on yourself in life. God bless you.
Please don't give up on yourself.
Five just four.
All right, if you listen, this is the BKC Motivational Show. Another motivation for us, Vibe just called in the top radio, top TV sports festival. I mean, we hope Vibe wins anyway, if not. Okay, news reaching us says Vibe has won them. And let's see whether John can play. I don't know about that, but maybe Jeremiah and Eugene can motivate him enough to play. All right, thank you very much. My guest has been Jeremiah Boa, being a motivational speaker, Eugene Ayim, an author, and also upcoming speaker and entrepreneur, Auntie Mariska. She's all around, I mean, everything from speaker, poet, writer, entrepreneur, and everything. And God bless you for coming and for listening to us on Facebook. I'll post in the winners for the books for you on Facebook shortly for you to pick your copies of this wonderful book. So make it in next week with other more authors and speakers in the house to get motivated and be inspired. Enjoy this music.
Got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry, be happy. The landlord say your rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry, be happy.
Look at me, I'm happy. Don't worry, be happy. I give you my phone number. When you worry, call me. I make you happy.
Don't worry, be happy. Ain't got no cash, ain't got no style, ain't got no gal to make you smile, but don't worry, be happy.